We're going to start the book of Galatians. We've been in the book of Ephesians talking about the three things that Paul mentions so that you don't faint, you don't get discouraged, you don't give up. I know nobody here's ever been there, right? He talks about the work of the Spirit in us. He talks about the work of the Word in Christ in us. And he talks about the love of God, which is very important because faith works by love. Now we come to Galatians. It's supposed to be, although there's no definitive proof, that the first book that Paul wrote. If it's not Galatians, they say it's 1 Thessalonians. Now he wrote Galatians in response to the Judaizers coming to pollute the gospel. The word used in Galatians is to pervert the gospel, to corrupt the gospel, saying that not only it's the cross, but it's the cross plus works. You have to keep the law. And Paul was quite furious about that. And he said the same thing two verses in a row. And it's in chapter 1. He says in verse 8, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And I suppose it was hot in his heart. And so he repeated, if any man preach any other gospel unto you other than what we've received, let him be accursed. He didn't want the gospel, and we certainly don't want the gospel polluted, corrupted. Now, he's going to go ahead and bring them back to the cross. These are Gentile churches. These are not Jews. And the Jews had come, they're called Judaizers, had come to make sure that the Gentiles knew that it was absolutely necessary for them to keep the law. And Paul wanted to pull that out of the ground and make sure they understood that salvation is by faith and faith alone. Now he said in chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians. That's not a compliment. He said, you guys should have known better. He said, you stood at the cross. He didn't mean physically they were there. He meant the cross was presented to them very, very clearly, and they came to Jesus through the cross, and they knew that. And he wants to know, why at this point did you relinquish that, or did you add to that? Oh, foolish Galatians. First, he says, the group that polluted them should be accursed, and then the group that was listening were fools. That's pretty stern, isn't it? He said in verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? He said that because they were being encouraged to add works to faith, to add the law. Now, these were not people of law, so the Jews wanted to make sure they knew the law. Now, we know the Ten Commandments. Do you have any idea how many laws were added to the Ten Commandments in the Scripture that you can count? 613.
I just heard that recently. That's fine.
613. That's exactly right. That's a lot of law to be saved by. We'd have to have a library so vast and multitudes of expertise to explain and clarify for us. No, it's one door and only one, yet its sides are two, inside or outside. On which side? It's just one door in. And it's the door of faith. Now, the Scripture says in Galatians, faith works. Faith works. Faith works. And it tells you how it works. It works by love. Not by law. Not by keeping rules. But it works by love. Faith works by love. And that's Galatians 5, 6. Now, when we come to Galatians 3, it says, as many of you are of the works of the law, okay, those who are going to be saved by keeping all the rules. I'm really glad we don't have to keep all the rules. We just have to follow the Spirit. He said, are under the curse. Paul is very stern. This is a very stern letter. Curse is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you don't keep every law, you are cursed. I know that was a word of encouragement to them, don't you think? It wasn't encouragement at all. Now we come to this verse we read all the time. We kind of twist it out of its setting. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is your inability to keep the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse. He's come to save by faith, and you no longer are obligated, you couldn't do it to start with, to keep every one of the 613 plus the Ten Commandments. And it says, if you don't keep all of those, you're cursed. That's what they're teaching this new church. And Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians, you came by the cross. What happened to you? We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been redeemed by faith in Christ, by faith in the cross, by faith in what Jesus has done. Now we come over to chapter 5. He says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. You are free through your faith in the cross, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're set free. He said, now stay free. Stand fast in the freedom. That means back up from this that they're teaching that you have to keep the law. Number one, these are Gentile believers. They didn't even know the law. So that's a lot of law to learn here at the last minute. I'm saved by the cross, but now I have to add these 623 laws in order to maintain. That doesn't even sound right. Of course, they were uneducated in the law. Stand fast in the liberty. What is the liberty? It's not faith plus works. That's what Paul said in Ephesians. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's the gift of God. What? Not of works. Now, we're not against works, but works don't save. You work because you are saved. You work because you're complete in Him and you want to represent clearly the gospel. That's the work that you do. For by grace are you saved through faith. So it's faith plus love, not faith plus law. I'm glad. I'm really glad. Now, I believe in being a rule keeper in anything I do, and what we do here, we do. If we do anything unusual, we always contact the office and let them know, make sure they know we follow the rules. I'm a rule keeper, but rules don't save. So we're going to stand fast. Now look down at verse 6. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision veils anything nor uncircumcision. Circumcision was a sign that you were under the law. But faith which works, faith which works, faith which works, faith which works by love. I first want to show you that faith works. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 5 to the words of Jesus, faith works. You need to know when you put out faith, faith comes from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And when you hear the Word of God, then the Word of God is clear to you. Then that Word will work in you. It's the Word and the hearing of the Word, which brings the hearing or the revelation of the Word, which makes the Word begin to work in you. That's Romans 10:17. Now in Romans 5:7 it is, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks, have you ever seen that? Everyone. One fella came to me with some problem years ago. I listened and I quoted him a verse with the everyone in it. And I said, are you a everyone? He said he didn't know. He wasn't sure. I couldn't help him. You're free not to help somebody. If they dumb out on you, go home and pray. That's how that works. Everyone that asks receives. Ask and receive. Ask and it's given. Seek and you'll find. Knock the doors open. Now in Africa, most of the houses are fenced and you have a man who sits in a guardhouse and guards your property. And when you go there, you would knock on the fence and someone would come and see what you wanted. And then they would open the door for you if they felt like you had a right to be there. We've seen that in Africa. Well, when you ask, God opens the door for you. Because you belong to Him and you are a child of faith and you have a right to come in faith. Not to come because you thought you qualified. Now, see, here's the problem. If I read enough scripture, and I read my Bible through every year, and I quote my scripture every day, I know that's a problem because people say that to me. They say, well, I read my Bible every single day, and I read my Bible through every year, and I quote my scripture. My confession is strong. Why am I not well? Because they're depending on themselves and on their works rather than on their faith and what God has done. Faith in what the love of God has done for you and provided for you to receive. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Well, in John, Jesus said, John 16, everyone asks the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Let me give you that reference. John 16, beginning in verse 23. Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Now, there isn't any criteria other than asking. And we ask in faith. We ask because Jesus said, if you ask, you receive. It's that clear. If you ask, you receive. If you ask, you receive. If you ask, you receive. That's what he said. If you ask, you receive. And he says, whatsoever you ask. And then he repeats it down further. And then he says, don't ask in my name. Ask the Father. So we're just going to say Father. Father, Father, Father. Well, if I won't ask my Father something, I wouldn't come in my brother's name. Huh? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, whatever you ask. Now you have the same thing in 1 John 5. This confidence we have in him, we ask anything according to his will. He hears us. We know he hears us. We know we have. First he said, ask and you'll receive. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. And then he said, you can be confident that whatever you ask, according to the will of God, he'll give you. That means faith works. It works. It's working. He guarantees you. You ask, you receive. You ask, and it'll be given. You ask in confidence. That word confidence has to do with your speech. If you look it up in the Greek dictionary, it means plain, blunt speech. We think of confidence being sure, but it has to do with being so sure you said so. You spoke out loud. You were confident and you said so, and you made your request, and your request was granted because it was in the boundaries of God's will. Now, that doesn't mean specifically that it was specifically written, although that's a good way to know the will of God, to know what is written. It also means that which your heart, which you ask for, which you have. Look at the 37th Psalm, which you have in your heart, and your heart knows that this is right. This is God. Huh. Verse 4, 37 Psalm, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean he'll give you everything you ask for, although he said he would. It means he'll place in your heart, he will give to you certain desires, and your heart, your spirit, your inward man will have certain desires that come to you. They may not be written, but they did come from God. Amen. When you prayed and you camped out on what you should do, then you have a desire in your heart that comes from God, a desire that God gave you. And that can be a desire according to the Word. He can remind you of the Word, but it can also be a desire that's not written but is in keeping with his will. You understand it's both. It's both. Now, if we ask the Father, that means faith always works. He said, you ask the Father, everyone asks receives. Are you an everyone? Everyone that asks receives. Whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, he'll give it to you. Whatever you ask according to his will, you will receive. That means faith works. Faith works. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Faith works. I don't know how many times I've had somebody ask me, how come that didn't happen? Faith in what inherits the promise? Faith and patience. Faith and patience inherits the promise. Patience is when you hang in there. You know, if you put something on your grill, if you cook ribs on your grill, you have to start real early because it takes several hours. If you know how to cook ribs, which Mr. Cumby does. And every now and then you go and check them to make sure they're done. But maybe they're not done. And so you cover them back up with aluminum. You cook them in aluminum foil for the first season. And you put the aluminum foil back on them and you let them cook some more. You have to be patient. It's not like a hamburger that you can throw on the grill or on the stove. But we had some hamburgers. What, those hamburgers we ordered, they had directions on them, say, the other day, 10 minutes or something? Yeah. Something like that? You can't do ribs in 10 minutes. And sometimes your faith project won't happen quick. But if you don't turn loose of it, it is going to happen. It is going to happen. Faith and
patience.
Patience is when you hang in there. Hang in there. My daddy used to say, and I didn't know it was Shakespeare, because I wouldn't imagine that he knew any Shakespeare, but it was, we all hang together or we'll all hang separately. You heard that? So we're going to hang together with the Word of the living God, and we're not going to give up, we're not going to quit, we're not going to relinquish, and we're not going to back up. We're going to continue once we pray to thank God for this desire, that it is of His heart, it is for me. Now look at James. You're following me, right? We're tracking together. James chapter 5, 4 it is. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Lust is of the flesh. Doesn't necessarily mean it was God at all, or it was a promise of God. It's just a promise of you. You owned it. You stood for it. Lust is when do for me, give to me. I have to have. That never works well for you. Now it says, you lust and have not, and kill and desire to have. God doesn't answer the prayer of lust. Here's how we know. You fight in war, you have not because you ask not. You didn't ask, you just coveted. He said, you didn't ask. You didn't ask. You didn't ask me. That gives us an exception to ask and you shall receive. He doesn't answer illegal, immoral, or really dumb. I always add really dumb because I've done that. I've seen you do that. Now a lady came to me and she had a house and she knew which house it was that she's supposed to buy, and they put a bid on it. She wanted me to agree and I agreed. She told me what street and I carried that street in my heart for months. And then somebody saw her. Did you hear so-and-so moved? I said, yes, over on such and such a street. They said, no, that wasn't where she moved at all. She's over on, and they named some other street. And I thought, okay, two things happen when that happens. Either you were wrong to start with, it wasn't really God talking to you, or you didn't wait patiently. It's one or the other. Right. And you might as well admit, you either weren't patient, or it wasn't the will of God to start with. But God said, this confidence, anything you ask according to my will, I'll hear and I'll answer. If it had been the will of God, you'd have hung in there. You'd have had it. That's just, everybody's failed at that. That doesn't throw any fire on anybody's bones. It says you fight in war, you have not because you ask not. That makes asking very, very important to God. God said ask. He said ask. He said ask. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. See that word amiss? That you may consume it upon. You ask amiss. Oh. I don't know why. I'm not electronic in nature. I can't figure out how to turn it on, turn it off, change the channel. And even if you instruct me, the next time I go to do it, I can't remember what you told me. And why our TV has, does it have four controllers? It's a mystery to me. And so the first thing I do is look and see if I got the right controller. If this is a controller that I'm supposed to, now where was that button? And if you give up, you never learn, which is why I haven't learned. I gave up. But if you give up on God and give up on His Word, you're going to miss His best. He said, if you'd asked me, He said, you didn't have that because you didn't ask me. And then He said, or you didn't have that because your request was really dumb, illegal or immoral. Well, if things aren't working for me, that doesn't intimidate me. I'm just willing to admit I must be wrong here. I must be wrong here. I said, what's wrong, Lord? What's wrong, Lord? What did I do wrong? Is this not your request? Is this not what I want? Didn't I stand in faith? You know, if you don't do that, you don't ever get it right. You just do without. Now, asking is very important. If you look at in Matthew, but we're not asking according to the law. We're not asking because we qualified. Matthew 7, Jesus said, verse 11, if you being evil or natural or normal know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to those that what? Ask. And what James says? You didn't ask. He said, I could give you good things if you'd. I don't know why, but asking is very important to God. I'm a participant in the kingdom of God. I'm not one since who watches. I'm a participant. I'm one who functions in the scripture and explains to others. When it works for you, you can explain to others, this is how it worked for me. And you can help others to arrive at their destination just because you know how you arrived at yours. And you can give them the word, you see, that was important to you. It says, so the Father would give you when you ask, and he'll place certain desires in you. Now, that's exactly what John 15:7 means. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask. You shall what? You shall what? Ask what you will. If you abide in me and my words. See, if the word abides in me, I'm supposed to recognize by the word that this last request was really dumb or illegal, immoral, or something. Because I have the word in me, my daily time in the word, to measure my requests by. And because he's the vine, I'm the branch, and I'm connected. And the branch is always affected by the vine is always affected by the branch. They work together or they don't bear fruit. And I work with God or I can't get my request. I can't bear any fruit. I have to know what he wants and what I'm to step forward and do. I'm supposed to know, I'm supposed to stay in the word, but I'm not staying in the word just to qualify and say, okay, I read my Bible every single day. There was a man, I think he's gone to be with the Lord. He was part of this church for a long time, and he read a different translation every single year. Fascinating man. And the year I talked to him, the only year I had a conversation with him, because I didn't really know who he was, he said, you know, this year I'm reading the New Jerusalem. Now, not everybody's led that way, but year after year, he'd read another translation. Next year, he'd read a different one. Next year, he'd read a different. Next year, he'd read a different one. And he's committed to that. But it was because I talked to him. It's because he loved God, not because he was trying to qualify for blessing. The man who tries to qualify always falls short. You got all that? So we're going to ask in faith. Now it says, faith works by love. It doesn't work by law. And when you read Galatians, that was his point. It's not faith because you read it all, said it all. It's faith because you believe. And when you believe, you're patient. It's faith because you believe. Now look at 1 Corinthians 13. I believe Jesus saves. You know, if I didn't see Wayne, I'd be looking for him. We have property and he can disappear. But he always leaves me a note on the end of the island. So the first place I'm going to go is to the end of the island, see if there's a note there. In fact, for a long time, we kept all the notes. So he didn't have to keep writing them. And I thought, this note says gone to Walmart, gone to Sam's. This note says on the back 40. I just look and see where's my note. But I go to that spot and there's no note. Well, that's very unusual. No note. So sometimes we don't know what's in the note. We don't know what's in the note. Well, I would know Wayne Cumbie's not going to just, he's here somewhere. Or I'd say gone to Leonard's. That's his older brother. Lives on the other end of the property. There'd be a note somewhere. And there is a note here. There are instructions here. The thing that you need, God will place that desire in your heart, and there'll be some instructions for you to follow. There'll be some word for you to hold fast to. If you don't have the word, being patient is going to be very difficult. You've got to have the word to hold on to hang on to. Now, here's the key. 13:13, 1 Corinthians. Now abides. When something abides, it stays, it remains, it's always there. Now abides faith, hope, and charity. These three, the greatest of these is love. Did you know that? That love is much greater than faith. Now, we have these cats. We don't have animals. We did have, but not in recent years and years and years and years and years and years. And they come and go, and we might not see them for a long time. They don't really abide at our house, but this week they've all showed up. The black and white, the gray tabby, and the gray. I don't know where they live. They like our property. I think they're catching lizards is what I think. And I saw one go across the yard with a rat. I thanked him very much for that. I thought that was very nice of you. Thank you. Come back anytime. And then they don't abide. They'll disappear. They're gone. Where are they? I don't know where they live. We don't live on the street per se, so I don't know where they go. But after a while, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe several months, and they'll be back. Now, if I treat the Word of God like that, failure is my fault. If I didn't abide, I'll have to divide in the Word. I have to hold my desire and the Word together. And my desire, my faith, has to be sitting on and attached to the love of God. Not works, but love. These three, they abide. They're all very important. They're all here. We need faith. We need hope. Hope is always attached to faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance. So faith is giving substance to things hoped for. The American hope is like, I hope so, maybe so, got my fingers crossed. That is not scriptural hope. Scriptural hope is absolutely positive. This is going to happen. I am confident. But going to happen has to be replaced with faith that says it has happened because Jesus has provided it. The Word has promised it. And faith that's not attached to love isn't going to work well. And it says the greatest force is love. Now, if you look at chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with tongue of men and of angels and have not love, I'm become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. That means all we hear from you is just some noise. What did she say? So it doesn't matter how many languages you speak, how much you speak in the Spirit. If you don't do it out of love, if love is not your motivation, if love is not the platform on which your faith is parked, nothing's going to work for you. Any sinner can keep a rule, but only a Christian can walk in love. And can take the promise of God, and because God loves me. And said, if I don't walk in love, I don't hear your words. Now, if you've dealt with anybody who's hard of hearing, they may know you're talking, but they don't know what you said. The words aren't clear to them. And I know that God's talking, but I can't hear him because I'm irritated, I'm aggravated, I'm not patient. I've turned loose of the Word. I want it now. How come this has taken so long? And my words, my confession is not working because it's not standing on love's platform. Do you see that? Well, what an assurance that is. If I'm standing in love, I look around and see where I'm standing. I think, okay, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. I'm still in love. I'm not irritated. I'm not aggravated. Overcome evil with good. That doesn't mean I thought you deserved the good. That is the one scripture that's helped me and kept me in love all the days of my life, is overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Okay, that means I should kick you in the shin after what you did, what you said, how aggravating you are. But if I'm going to overcome, well, this little lady asked me, she had a relative, and they had a real serious dissension. I understand that. Relatives can be irritating. You knew that, right? Especially the ones that live at your house. So I said, well, I would buy her a flower. She said, are you kidding me? I'm not buying her anything after what she did. I said, well, you'll never overcome. Overcoming is not a feeling. It's an action. Based on the love of God. She said, I'm not doing it. I said, well, how about a donut? just trying to stir her up to be in the right place. I said, how about let's buy her? No. I said, well, okay, you'll continue to suffer. God said, I said, I'm not telling you. She was of another denomination. I don't know what she knew or heard, but I said, this is the Word of God. I'm quoting you what God said. God said, overcome evil with good. In other words, I'm going to do something good. I'm going to do something loving. I don't think you deserve beans. I ran into her several weeks later, and she said, guess what I did? Guess what I did? She said, I sent a flower. She was so excited. I was proud of her too. And she said, she didn't hate me all that time. She really loves me. If you do the right thing, God can work on your behalf. Now, one gentleman had a, and I see this in the grocery store. Okay, I see you coming. I'm not a conversationalist. I'm just going to have, I call it anointed wave. Hi, it's good to see you. I'm keeping moving. I'm not stopping talking. Now, you can talk to Wayne. He'll stay there till Jesus comes. He will talk to you, but I'm not going to talk to you. And what I'm going to do, I see you coming. I think I'll just avoid. I haven't got time to talk to her. And so I'll just go this way because you're coming. You know, I'm going to avoid you so I don't have to take my time with you. And when you do that, you don't follow the scripture. It says, overcome evil by doing the right thing. It's not a feeling. It's an action based on the commission of God. Overcome evil. So he saw, he was on one side of the street, and he saw this man that he had had this dissension with on the other side of the street. He said, now what I would want him to do is to make a right turn in this department store so he doesn't see me, so I don't see him, so I don't have to talk to him again. Hey, you've never felt that way. I know y'all look real innocent, but just in case it happens. He said, I went right across the street. I took him by the neck, and I said, oh, it's so good to see you. And so the man almost passed out. If I follow God, it says, overcome evil. Now, there are many laws of love, many, many laws of love in the scripture, but that's the one that always holds me steady. I asked this, Wayne worked with this little lady. She won half of the city of Lakeland to the Lord. It was amazing to me. So they had this shindig to which I was invited, and I said, how in the world are you winning all these people to the Lord? She said, well, I start with buying them coffee and donuts. See, she knew how to reach the heart. We went to the baptism of one. She asked Wayne, would we come? This other lady had won her to the Lord. She was wild, but she definitely had gotten one to the Lord. It wasn't a few weeks before she was killed in an automobile accident. That was a mighty important donut. It was a real important donut and cup of coffee, wasn't it? Overcome evil, so I always say, what are you going to do good? And of course, I like to pass the buck because I'm not a conversationist nor a people person per se. And I'm going to say, what are we going to do good? What do you think we should do, Wayne? What do you think you should do? See, I'm going to back him up. I'm not going personally. We'll back him up. Well, cluck, 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 you know, you're just chicken all the way. And that's where I am sometimes. Now he said, you can't be a sound. It can't be words, just words. If it's not words backed by love, you're not even heard. And then it says, you can prophesy, you can understand all mysteries. What a smart person you are. You know all knowledge, you have all faith, you can move mountains. But there's no love in you. And it said, you're absolutely nothing. That's what I didn't write, I'm just reading it. See, it helps me. You need to know where you're standing. I know where I'm standing here. I know I've got to do better. Some things Wayne doesn't even ask me. He says, I'm going to do so-and-so. I said, okay, that's fine. He knows I don't want to do it. He knows I'm going to think of five reasons not to do it. I am not a people person. Now, I change. The person who knew me had never heard me teach, couldn't believe it. They said, well, that wasn't you at all. I said, no, it wasn't. Thank God it wasn't. Have all faith. I have enough faith to move any mountain. That's what it says. But I'm not loving. Said, you're absolutely nothing. Increases your prayer life, doesn't it? You have to say, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Help, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. You know that song? And then it says, I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. I mean, I am really generous. I give my body to be burned and have not love it. In other words, I make any sacrifice to help people. I could make tremendous sacrifices. And it says, but I don't do it in love. And it says, it's not profitable to you. It's profitable to them. Thank God you did that and helped them. But it doesn't help you. It doesn't go on your record as a deed well done. Usually somebody corners you. You know, have you ever had that happen? the cornea. So it's not faith in law, it's faith in love. It's faith in love. It's not faith and keep all the rules, all the regulations. It's faith, and my heart loves the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul. Now look at Romans. Let's finish with a couple verses. The Old Testament's full of laws and ordinances. 623 that we know about. You should, all the rest of this day, you should say, oh, praise you, Father, that we're not under 623 laws. I mean, you'd never get up and get there, would you? We have only one law in the New Testament. Only one law, and it's the one law that's going to platform us so that our faith works. Faith works by love. Now look. Verse 9 of chapter 13. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended or summed up in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. We have only one New Testament law. Only one law, and that's the law of love. It's what I'm doing loving. Now, you know the Lord's Prayer. Do you know how the Lord's Prayer ends? Do you know how Mark 11:23 ends? Let me tell you. Let me read it to you. Mark 11:23 is whatever you desire. When you pray, believe you receive and you shall have. And then it says, and I'm going to ask you, why do you think it says this? And when you stand praying, forgive. That's connected to Mark 11:23. Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive, you shall have. And if you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that means you have anything against anybody, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive your trespass. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Do you know that's also at the end of the Lord's Prayer? Forgiveness is attached to prayer. When I pray, I need to forgive. You just have to think about it a minute, don't you? Well, how are you going to overcome? Flowers? Overcome's an action. It's not a thought. Conversation? Don't avoid them. Donuts. Donuts and coffee. I would be real forgiving after that. I would. I'd think, wow, they are really, really nice people. Let me tell you how one man forgave. He and his neighbor had used the same driveway for years and years. They had property and they rode up and down the same driveway. This neighbor going to his carport here. This neighbor going to his garage over here. Same driveway for years. And one day the man on one side came to the other man and said, I'm going to put a fence up to block in my driveway so you'll no longer have access to my driveway. Do you know it wasn't his driveway? It was the other man's that's going to be now on the backside of a fence that fenced in his driveway. Well, that's irritating. A preacher told me this. That's where I got it. Here's what he told him. If you understand overcoming, he said to him, deed him that driveway. Give it to him free of charge. Go to your attorney and deed him the driveway. And at first you're thinking, do you want to overcome or not? Do you want your faith to work? Overcoming is what puts your faith to work. Overcoming is a part of love that platforms faith that brings your hope to pass. Wow. So that's what he did. He gave it to him. Said, well, did that man ever know that it wasn't really his property to start with? Who cares? I didn't say overcome was easy. You want your faith to work? Faith doesn't work by law. See, by law, that's my driveway, and I'm fencing it in on the other side, and you will never get in on my driveway again. I don't care what you've said. That's law. But you can't overcome by law. Only by love. So honestly, what would love do? I thought that was the most remarkable story I ever heard. Got it from the mouth of the preacher that gave this man such tremendous, tremendous advice. Give it to him. Just give it to him. Now, a little lady called me one day and she said, come quick, come to my house, come quick. She loved to mow. Is that a mystery to you ladies? She mowed her yard. She didn't want her husband to mow it. She liked to mow it. And she mowed the neighbor's yard. See, love is going to pay big dividends. She called me and she said, we're going over to the neighbor's porch. He said we could look on his porch. He used to own a glassware store. He had marvelous, marvelous glassware and dishes and china, everything your heart could ever want. And he's going to let us buy at really, really cheap any of it we want. Now, we didn't get china when we got married, did we? We weren't in China, were we? No, I didn't think so. And here we are, halfway through our marriage, and he's going to give us a full set of china. I think it's $175, $200, two and a quarter for... You know what Lennox Eternal is? It's top of the line. It's in my china cabinet. I got it because a little lady was loving to her neighbor. Do you see? Don't you want your life to be enhanced? Love, 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 love. Everybody talking about love's not living it. Love, 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 love. Somebody ought to live love. See, all of this is so faith will work. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. If you need to do something different, the Lord will tell you. It's just that simple. I've known people who spent hours. Now, the one reason I told you that, because someone had been very, very sick and had read her scriptures, done everything, she had made her confession, got totally healed the day she forgave. The minute she realized she should be, it's the realization of the Spirit. It's not from your head. It's not a witch hunt. It's not, one lady's told me every so many days she searches her heart. All she's doing is damaging herself. You say, Lord, is there something I should know? It's that simple. And if he doesn't speak to you, there's nothing you should know. Move on with your life. Don't stand there and keep beating yourself up. This person done everything scripturally she should have done and did not get well until she thought of somebody that she hated. And when she forgave him, she was instantly healed of a dread disease. That's why I told it to you. And I don't ever teach this lesson because there's always somebody that goes home and beats themselves up. Do not do that. If God wants you to do something, He will say so. You got that? I got that? Raise your hand if you've got that. You understand that? Because I had to pull some people out of a ditch. They spent too much time repenting. They repented, and then they repented of their repentance, and they repented of the repentance that they repented. Don't do that, okay? Okay.